Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082.
Hi, I'm Eddie Grant and you're listening to Sheffield Live 93.2 FM.
Yeah, this is the poet Benjamin Zephaniah coming down your radio wire and you are listening to Sheffield Live on 93.2 FM, my friend.
1-2-1-2, how's it going? This is Shlomo, you're listening to Sheffield Live.
Friday the 17th, rumours in the background. And you know something? Think say this are rumours. My 2P, them are bumpy shit this evening. What's going on a 2 man? Yeah?
Nah, man, me cool, man. Everything's sweet. Wagwan going people, no good, no good. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm alright. No, I don't know where putting a bump up. We just did it.
I talk to them that they might bump up. Disagreements are run high.
Nah, them things. That's what you call friendly banter.
And I just had to say, just reduce the speed. You understand?
It's called friendly banter.
Or is it just rumors?
Rumors.
Hey,
be a rumors. Don't follow rumors. You know that. That's where the tune. I tell you, no bother with no rumor.
Well, you're in tune to Sweet Talking Sport. Friday, 17th. Straight to the point chat show that deals with the latest sports news and stories with both interviews and drawing an audience that fit today's modern day society, devoted entirely to discussion on sporting events, whether local, whether national. Good to go. Expansive. Analysed by GCV and myself this evening. Your regular programme in Yorkshire's best sports chat show you'll ever hear. Yeah, you can check us out, Sheffield Live, Friday from 6 till 7, or you can catch up on the archive. Yeah! Yeah, without further ado, I hope nobody's listening, but if you are, hey, please tell nobody about this channel. Yeah? And you know something? I'll go jump straight in. Ashley Cole in management, yeah, but not in the UK, not even in Spain. You can find Ashley Cole doing his thing in the second tier of the Italian league.
All right,
you know,
okay,
and it's good to see Ash, you know, in management. And you know something? I'll tell you what Ash had to say for himself.
What is that? I didn't know that. Ashley.
Yeah, just having a bit of technical issues, just kind of like loading up this something. See it there?
Kind of discouraged by some opportunities or lack of opportunities. Some clubs I spoke to, you know, they like to throw the, you don't have experience. And I'm like, well, I get what you're saying. I agree with you, but how am I going to get experience? Like, you know, you've got to trust me as a coach. So there is a massive trust element and issue with that, but I don't think you can know when you're ready. Was I ready to take this job? I don't know. I think in terms of the experience on the grass and coaching elite players, different age groups, coached elite Chelsea players, then elite under 21 players that have been managed and coached by top managers, you know, Peps, whoever. And then you win with them and you understand, like, oh, that's my work again. So I didn't lead a group. I didn't lead a club. So until I led a club, I would never know if I'm ready. But in my head, I'm ready. Yeah. So, you know, that's the battle that you have to fight as a kind of being a number two for 5, 6, 7 years I've been. I've had to kind of take a leap of faith. My end, but also the club have had to take a leap of faith. And I've loved that the owners who have kind of lived similar background to me, hardworking, graft, kind of underdog. No one kind of believed in them, but, you know, they created a real successful business.
Yeah.
And they also needed someone to believe in them and give them a chance. And that's where they, you know, now they've got to a real high level of work ethic and a place where they should be proud of how they've succeeded, and they've gave me the opportunity. So we had a lot in common in terms of that, of breaking down doors and barriers. And I don't think there's too many, certainly black English coaches working in Italy. So again, massive leap of faith from them, and, you know, so very proud to be here.
Yeah, the one Ashley Cole, you know, previously at Derby, that's Derby County, worked at Chelsea, England also as well. I think with Chelsea's under 21s, I think. England alongside Gareth Southgate, Everton, Birmingham City, and like I said, senior with the seniors with Gareth Southgate. So Cole took over last month on the 15th of March with Cassina. Began with a 3-0 defeat to their rivals. But, you know, claims with a lack of opportunities. And how many times have we gone over this as well? In this country, you know. And with his experience, with his England caps, and I mean, Cole was rated as one of the best left backs, especially in our year, anyway.
So
you know,
so they say, and he was, you know, he played for Arsenal and Chelsea, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And did well for both of them. So yeah, and then obviously he was the established left back for England.
Top pass, so, innit?
Yeah, so yeah, court. I would say, yeah, he had a fantastic career, right?
Did you play for Man U?
No. You're thinking about maybe Andy Cole.
Yeah, yeah.
This is Ashley Cole.
Ashley, yeah, I'm getting them mixed up. Ashley,
we'll let him off with that. We'll give him a blank.
Yeah.
You know
just,
what I mean?
Just tweaked him. Yeah. Ashley, no. She
give him a blank for that.
Yeah. Nah. Remember me, nervous when it comes to these teams, damn. But yeah.
Well, like I'm saying, and I think the route he's going down, I believe, I may not be on the right track, but I believe the route that Ashley's going down is that the opportunity that what he had here,
you're on the right track,
right, was
minimum.
Quite, yeah.
Definitely.
And it was cut short.
Yeah.
Right? So he then had to seek other avenues, and obviously he's then gone to Italy. And I think it's their second division.
It is, yeah.
Right. And he's gone there, and these people have obviously got a bit of faith in him and said, yeah, we're going to give you a go.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But like Ashley says, look how far he's got to go to get the opportunity.
To get some recognition,
to understand,
to prove himself.
Right.
Well, to get the chance, really, isn't it?
That's
mm-hmm.
right.
Basically.
That's right. That's right. We're still having them the same block.
I know.
That blockage.
That's what I'm thinking.
2026, we're still having the same blockage. You know what I'm saying? Right?
Will it ever change? Can you ever see it change?
I don't know.
Is there going to be change? Because, you know what? On paper, it looks wicked. You know, the pathways and stuff. But, you know, and I don't think... That's true. And I don't think we should sugarcoat this, you know, because it's a system. You know what I mean? Black culture is well overlooked, you know, and invisible sometimes, you know. And it's the processes that prevent the blockage, cultural differences, yeah, disadvantages. Certain groups whilst favouring others, you know. I mean, I can remember when I had a conversation with Fui T, you know, so you can know, and that was when he had his shop on Park Hill. So I'm going back 20 some
odd
time.
Years, 20 odd years.
I'm going back some time with this conversation. And I mean, I had my B license then, which is the third highest coaching qualification you can get in football. And there was an article in the paper, and it was like Les Ferdinand was saying how difficult it is for him to hold on a job. And I said to T, I said, why? I've got my B license, right? And if Les is saying that, and he's played for Spurs and England and
Newcastle,
and he was a Dan.
He was a Dan.
And Les is saying that he's struggling holding down or finding a job or getting the right opening or the right opportunity. I says, what chance have I got? Not played at the highest level, not even played semi-pro. You know what I mean? But yeah, I can, you know, hold my own in a coaching environment. Yeah, do you know what I mean? And all the teams I've had, I can guarantee they've won more matches than they've lost. And that's something what I say to any team I've had. I said, I can guarantee you we'll win more matches than what we lose. And I stand firm with that, even today. So, you know, with not playing at a high level or anything like that, people would just think, well, who's this guy?
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean? So, you know, got no chance.
Because you've just got the qualifications, no experience. This man had it.
Yeah. Over 20 odd years ago, we had that conversation, and look at Cole, Ashley Cole, busting it again. You know what I mean? So, what has changed?
Nothing.
I tell you what's changed. What? The paperwork's changed. You know what I mean? Because it's like, you could say the ghost paperwork has changed, because the pathways what they've got, you know what I mean, for black coaches to gain a qualification, to, you know, have them experiences. But when you come into the jobs now, you know, they're not there. They're not there to be seen. You know what I mean? I mean, because it's like I said, you know, I've got the UEFA B, which is recognised around Europe. You start off with, you know, a C licence, which is just your coaching certificate, you know, and then, you know, you've got C, which is grassroots, B, tactical and theory. Then you've got UEFA A, which is top level, amateur and elite. And then you've got the pro license, the ICE license you can get, which is kind of like international level. So you've got like, what, 41%? And this is the rate. So you've got like, 41% percentage of being fired as a black coach, 41%. Do you know what I mean? So you can tell it's a serious problem when you start coming out with the percentages. You know what I mean? You know, because somebody's thought, I wonder what the percentage is for a black coach more likely to be hired than his white counterpart.
So basically, what you're saying is that they've gone into it deep.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, right. But, yeah, all the percentages and everything, but still, we're still at the same place. We're still at the same place. And you could have the most experience, which obviously people like Les, you had people like John Barnes, you had Paul Ince, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've now got my man now at Chelsea. What they call him? We didn't call him again, no. Chelsea manager again, no.
Yeah, his name's just gone, but it'll come.
You've got him. right? That, and he's already getting stick already. He's already getting stick. He's already getting stick.
It's true.
The chance is too big for him. That's what they're saying. Now, people would say, yeah, we're saying that because of his inexperience. We're not saying that because of his colour. We're saying that because of his inexperience. Yeah, that's possible. Yeah, I could go along with that. But there are other undercurrents and other people that I've seen the comments on some of the posts.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them, yeah, it does come with that. It does come with them comments. So...
And that... I mean, I was going to say that doesn't surprise me, but should we really be looking at things like that over 20 odd years ago? You know, we mentioned a conversation that I had with the one and only Mr. T, you know, when he was on at Park Hill Flats, you know what I mean? So that's how long ago we're going. And today, you know, we're still having the same, you know, broke up conversations, you know what I mean? Which... yeah, still in that same place with it.
So this guy Ross, you know, Liam, why would he give him the job in the first place if he wasn't experienced enough to take it for such a big club?
Because he was at Chelsea's sister club, Strasbourg, in France, and he was the head coach there, so it was a natural thing, really, and also probably a cost-saving exercise. To put him in charge of the mother club.
And he was, and to be fair,
yeah,
he was doing well with Strasbourg.
Yeah, yeah, he was
they
doing
well. They didn't want him to leave.
Yeah.
How long has he been looking after Chelsea now? Has he had enough time to get his feet under the table to settle with them and make a point? So basically, he's been judged straight away on his first few matches out of the door.
He's not even had a season.
Well,
he's not even had a season.
So they've not really given him a chance then, have they?
Not really.
But let's bring him down.
There you go. Because I went last week when we played them, and you could see they wasn't backing him at all. Their fans, they wasn't backing him at all.
And you see, when it starts going down that road, then the team's not going to have much confidence in him, are they?
Yeah.
Really. Because it all comes hand in hand together, you know what I mean? Mm. So if the fans would give him a chance and let them get second with the team and stuff like that, and if the team would give him a chance...
But you know, G, it's not just Chelsea's fans. It's like the footballing world, isn't it?
The footballing
family.
Well,
I saw them call it.
Because the media and everybody is going to bring him down, isn't it? Which is more precious still.
Well, you're just waiting for him to just broke up, isn't it? I mean, Mr. Simon Jardine, he said something like he was like... something like a school teacher. You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah, that's the kind of comment what Mr. Jordan made. You know what I mean? Prim and proper, upmarket school teacher.
So really, they wanted this guy to come in and see Chelsea winning the first few games and stuff like that, then he would have got praise. But because they're not playing as well, it's all down to him now. He's getting the stick on him. So okay.
I mean, before he went to France, he was doing. I thought he was doing quite well with the whole city, you know that you know, and I think most of their fans, you know, I think they kind of agreed with it as well. So, but they've got a chairman who likes to hire and fire. So he felt the fire. Out the door he went, and Strasbourg picked him up. And they didn't really want him at first. The majority didn't want him at first. And then he employed his tactical nouns and stuff. And then they saw the results kind of like, you know, come in their way, in their favour. And he did really well. And like CV says quite rightly, so they didn't even want him to leave in the end.
That's true.
You know?
They didn't want him to leave.
You know? So, I mean, why are the systems like this? I mean... you know, I suppose if we had the answer, we wouldn't... Well, we know the answer, really, and truly. You know what I mean? And like we say, we're not sugar-coated, so, you know, we'll just pop it out, colour him skin.
It's just as simple as that.
What's the point in going around the houses, you know?
No, that's the truth. And for me, really, if a manager takes over, you've got to give him a good season at least. A season of 2 to 2 with Maguire. And if you go through the first season and he's not doing well, then...
you can draw the card them for somebody else. But if you give him a chance, if he's just coming and whatever, give the man a chance, man. He's not out of season and everything. So
I think,
you know,
how long have you been there from?
From January, 6th of January took over.
It's been a few months.
Four months. Yeah, yeah. I'm just starting it.
I'm just starting. It's been there two minutes. It's like anybody, even though he's experienced, but it's like when you go into a new job, and if you are experienced, whatever job you were doing before to come into this job, you still have to give that brother a chance to make him out, because everybody's on him straight away. What's he going to be like, or what's she going to be like? This, that, and the pressure's on you straight away.
100%.
He's got to bond with the players. He's got to bond with the club. He's got to bond with everything first before you really start move. If he had that support, maybe Chelsea might have done better. Mm-hmm. But like we said, it's always the same.
Looking at the recruitment bias, you know, so informal, it's like who you know what I mean? And, you know, I think in them kind of jobs as well, it wasn't just who you know, I think it was a case of accessibility, you know what I mean? Because they wouldn't have to pay compensation to get a big boss, is it? So they've saved on that, so therefore they can afford to give him. I'm not sure how long a contract he's got actually, but if you're not paying out, you know, compensation to bring a manager in, so therefore you can say, okay, we might give you 3 seasons or something like that, or even 5. Do you know what I mean? Because where they save in one area, you know what I mean, they gain in another. So, yeah, recruitment bias. In fact, you know, if you've just joined us, listen to Sweet Talking Sport. I've got G and CV in the studio. It's Friday the 17th, 18:21. And then you've got lower retention rate. So what do we mean by that? Obviously, opportunities. The lack of opportunities for, you know, black coaches to get out there, you know what I mean, and do their stuff. You know, pathways seem to be blocked, you know, with, like I said, recruitment bias. You just thrown in there, lower retention rate. Lack of pathways. 40% of the Premiership players are black players. But that doesn't reflect in the coaching stats, you know, which is absolutely crazy, you know.
That's true, but then you've got some people saying, yeah, but they're not really interested, are they really? They don't really want to go into management or thing. So, you know, when people saying about, oh, they're not, there's only so much percentage, you've got to look at it and think, well, do these black players want to become managers? But to me, I think they do. I just think
it's the way the system is.
I just think the opportunities are not there for them.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. I think they do, because it's the pinnacle of your career, isn't it? To play football. Excuse me, people. To play football and to come out, if you get that chance to manage a club, I mean, that's a good way to end your career. But like you said, if the opportunities aren't there and they hear the stories, they might think, well, what's the point?
You know?
What's the point? Because I've always wondered, though, how we bring in so many foreign managers who's in the same situation, they've played football and that, but we'd rather get a foreign manager from abroad to come in and coach an English football team when we've got how many other managers here that potentially that could do it.
Yeah. You know, obviously the name, you know, well, yeah, I can see the benefits in that. Pluses and minuses, really, because the benefits, if you've got a foreign manager with a big name, you're most likely to attract the personnel coming in, you know.
But that's the thing, though, isn't it? These guys are given the chance from start to make a career for themselves, make a name for themselves.
They've had to start from somewhere.
Everybody have to start from somewhere to make that. Right. And what we're saying is that the black guys are not getting the same.
You know,
you've just summed it up, yeah. You've just said it all.
That's why you have me here, innit?
You just summed it up.
Quan G.
When you look at my manager, the manager of my team, he come through Barcelona Academy.
Mm-hmm.
And he started to manage the Barcelona Academy and then the B side. So that's where he started.
Opportunities, innit?
Right.
There you go.
You know, opportunities.
The door was open for him. But the thing is, the doors are not open.
Yeah, the doors are not open. You know, even though we have the key and everything, we might even have a sledgehammer if we broke it down, but it's still not open. It's kind of reinforced, and that goes into ineffective initiatives as well. You know, nothing's changed in, you know, the hiring behaviors.
You just said it, 20 years since you had that conversation
with T. Yeah.
20 years is long.
And for with T, that's not a minimum, even here.
That's a minimum, you know, life sentence right there, you know, boy, when you do something wrong, you know. So,
and I, do you know what? And I can remember that conversation like it was yesterday.
Well, you would do, wouldn't
you? Know what I mean? You know, because it sticks right in my head. Invisible barriers, you know? So it's like, what do I mean by that? It's like, yeah, the pathways are there for the qualification and stuff, and maybe subsidizing this disqualification and getting a bly here and there. But if you've got that ticket in your back pocket and you can't even take it out, what's the point? You know, I mean, I made that point to T. I said, listen, if Les is going public and saying that, why, there's no way true, then there's definitely not no pathway for me.
Well, let's be honest. It did say, it did say what he said. What difference did it make? What difference did it make?
I mean, we were still talking about it. It didn't make any difference. You know what I mean?
There you go. Man said that he taught the truth and everything. People heard him. Even they would have heard him. But after a few days, it's just...
See him.
Yeah. Everything just go back and nobody not interested.
Yeah, the dates changed. The wording must have changed. And then you have them... You have kick it in, kick it out, boot it out, slap it out.
Yeah.
And what difference have they made?
What difference has it made?
What difference has kick it out... Boot it, kick him in, has it made? I ask you that question. If anybody knows the answer, just give us a call on 0114-281-4092. And we'll just say, oh, dear, no. You know what I mean? Just give us a call.
Oh, that number go again.
That number. 0114-281-4092. And just say, oh, do you do? You know?
Yeah.
Because we have the answer.
Oh,
you know?
Oh, my gosh.
Jesus Christ.
That, you know? Number them are fly like
number them are fly like fried rice. You know? Or when you're on a hot day, if you're sucking at ice. You know what I mean?
All
right, no, Luke's no Russian. You know? Remember them style there. You know what I mean? But, yeah. You know, I just want to say big up to Ash and
good luck, my brethren.
Big man for just talking it out. He's talking out the truth.
And to be fair to him, right,
he's talking it out.
He's not let that stop him, has he?
True.
He said, you know, wife, you mind them, you don't want me, and you don't want to give me the squeeze. I'm going to go somewhere else.
You have to rate that.
Yeah.
You have to rate that, innit?
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah. And he's not forgetting his roots as well. Mm. You know what I mean? He's talking it out while some black guys might just, be grateful for the job and just do the job.
Yeah.
Get them experience. But Ashley's saying, you know, give me them opportunity in a UK.
Yeah.
Jump on a plane and up in Italy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And so to be fair, that place is not there. You know, it's not the, you know what I mean? It's not the nicest.
You're right.
People of our complexion.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, yeah. Cause inside it out there, so
innit? He did.
When them are call him this and that.
That's right. Oh, when my man was there. You remember Lufa? Lufa Blissett went there. He got it. Lufa got it, man.
Yeah,
Lufa
man.
Got it.
Yeah, he
got it.
I used to love Luther, you know, and when we played street football.
You were Blissett.
Blissett!
1-0.
Yeah,
you know
what I mean?
Yeah, I remember them.
Blissett. Blissett, don't miss it. You know what I mean?
He was dangerous. Yeah. He was dangerous.
Yeah. Definitely. You know? Yeah, do you know something? Just want to pay respect as well to the late Alex Manninger. Can you remember him?
I do. Goalkeeper for Arsenal.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he was actually a decent goalkeeper, actually.
He was. He was dangerous.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He represented, you know, like you said, the Gunners, Liverpool, Juve. You know what I mean? So, yeah, he's sadly passed away the other day.
Was that the one with the train crash?
That's right.
Okay.
On that crossing,
Come out for, he was one of the first ones there. Or the first one there that come out to help, innit?
Yeah. Come out to where?
Where? Which train crash are you talking? You're talking about when the footballer came out? And that
which train there? Crash are you talking about? You with us, G? This is 17th of... This is the 17th of... Hey! Hey! Yo!
My head's on a different level there, man. Sorry.
Well, find your head and put it on your shoulders right now, because, you know, so we're live and direct.
My head just went to another conversation.
Do we give him a blight? It's up to you. If you want to give him a blight or not.
I'll send him to Fendzik, man.
What do you know? Man? You must be sick.
You must want a
Fendzik.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we just double up on your... On your arm, well, it's only 6:30. So I mean, I better go any further with that. You know what I mean?
All right. Anyway, take time, man.
Yeah. So, you want to finish this off, or shall we hang him up for dry, or just ceasefire?
All right.
Ceasefire.
I want to see me sit back in the chair.
Allow it. Yeah, people. Yeah. Well, you know, in fact, people, if you are phoning. 0114-2814092.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good for you.
That's right.
Like, if we get one call, we hang him up for dry.
That's right.
Yeah. You just one say, call.
You ain't say it's good for you. Like yabba dabba do.
And right. Scooby Doo. You know? Friday the 17th, we're live and direct in Sheffield Live. G, you good?
What you said the date is?
Friday the 17th.
Friday the 17th.
You good?
Yeah, I believe so. PMRM.
No, but I start with that because I told we here, you know. And you could get right, finished,
on,
you know.
Let's get serious. Let's
we don't want to finish right. You know.
I'll try to get through the rest of it.
We don't want to finish it. You know what I mean?
So where are we at now?
Hey, you tell me. What did you do?
Where are we at? Call me
confused.
Where
did you do it?
Yeah, where we are. The next topic.
At least he owns it anyway. He says he's confused. You know what I mean? But yeah, back to business. Yeah, Alex Manninger died in, you know, got struck by a train. You know, and in the city of Salzburg, you know, on the border of Germany, just paying respects to him, the former Gunner, former. Red, the former Juve player, you know what I mean, sadly lost his life. And he was only, 48 years old at that young kind of age, you know? Bless. And, I want to just share this with you guys. I mean, your listeners, nobody tell nobody about this. But we kind of like ran over this last year. I can remember it. And it was about, athletes switching nationalities. And we're going to call this Operation OBS, Operation Big Switch from the Turkey people, them, you know. So the governing body said the request... We're part of a coordinated recruitment strategy.
Yeah, I heard about it.
By
this.
The country's government to attract overseas athletes through lucrative contacts. And we spoke about it on here, didn't we?
We did.
About them buying people off. And
that's right.
We spoke
right.
about them athletes from Yard saying, I'll have some of that.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Well, now it's come to bite them, you know? And I believe... You know, there was people getting paid off as well. and now they've kind of like found them out. So yeah, it's come to life. 11 athletes, including 5 from Kenya, including their former women's marathon world record holder. Also 4 people from Yard, 4 Jamaicans in at the mix too. And then you've also got some people from Nigeria, Russia, you know. So Turkey failed to win any golds in 2024. Amongst their medals, they got 8 medals, failed to win 1 gold. So Turkey's strategy was to say, do you know what? Let's do some bandouli business and start offering athletes a nice payday. Maybe they'll switch over, calling it the big switch. We can pay them some nice monies and stuff, you know, sponsorship, you know, buy them our food and all that kind of stuff. And then maybe we'll become a massive force in athletics. But this has been squashed now because, you know, they've been found out. Athletics governing body have saying, do you know what? I mean, we knew that was going off anyway. People being paid.
We mentioned that. We mentioned
paid,
those,
you know,
and whatever else.
And we mentioned it first on Sweet Talking Sport, you know, last year we came with this.
We were talking about it with the football players, the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I mean, my argument is there, when you like you talk about the World Cup or you're going to Olympics and all that, it's supposed to be, allegedly, supposed to be each country against each country. Now, if you've got people in your team that aren't from that country, then for me, your country hasn't won diddly squat in that respect. If you're going in a World Cup, you play for the World Cup. If you are, now this ruling what they've come out with, if you are dual heritage, then that gives you a choice. But you are supposed to put your homeland, your country first before you go and play for somebody else. When it comes to sports and them things, and I think you should stick with that. If you are from Jamaica, you play for your Jamaican team. If you are dual heritage where you're Jamaican and English, then that player can have a choice. Same with athletics. If you come from Kenya, Ethiopia, or you come from Barcelona or wherever your country comes first, and if you are dual heritage, then you've got that choice. But to buy a player and bring them into your country to play for your country, then you can't say your country's actually won because you've got different countrymen in your team.
Hard talkings from G there. You're all right, Mr. G.
Yeah, man, me good now. I'm on the right track now. Me good now, me good.
Hey.
So, you know, my man's goals then, who was long distance runner, my black man. You know,
we're talking Farah.
Yeah. Abdi.
All right, then.
Right. That means for him goals then, when he win for your peoples then. Right.
Logically, all right. Let me correct another team.
They don't count. Then.
How long has he been for the England? He actually lives now as an English citizen, don't he?
He come here when he was boy.
When he was a boy.
When he was boy.
Those kind of scopes, then you have to give things whatever else. But if, like these athletes, they're not. They are natural born and they want to leave their country and go and play for another. But his circumstance is different. He came to this country.
Well,
he grew as an English.
He was shipped in, weren't he?
Whatever it was.
Yeah, he was shipped in.
So his is different. I mean, if you've come to a country and you've changed your nationality, then that is different. But if you haven't... If you're not committed to that country in any way, shape or form, for your country come first.
I see what I mean.
I think that clarifies it now, what I was actually trying to get at.
I think we got it. I think our listeners got it too. You know what I mean? But him say Donnie's is the root of all evil. So,
and that's the problem,
you know,
isn't it?
If they're flashing a car and that, and people are saying, I'll have some of that.
I know that they're
entitled
to it.
Why shouldn't they? You know what I mean? Because, you know, and especially if they're saying, look, you know, we can provide facilities, we can give you the training gear, you know what I mean? We've got a yard for your yasso, your family's nice,
it's bring tempting.
Them over.
I'm not disputing that. It's all tempting, but...
Some of them yard, man, they might go run for it, innit?
Yeah.
you know?
Of course they are. Would
especially
you blame them?
Especially if they know how much planting they can get and all that something and yam and banana and that. Listen, you know what I mean?
If they can still get the item food, they're going to go,
Will you pass food there for them, you know?
Yeah, but where do you draw the line then?
If you're going to come with, if you're going to come and tempt people with dollars, right? It's like everything, isn't it? It's like that, the cricket thing, where all the different players from different countries are going there and playing the IPL, innit?
Mm.
Right, they're all going there because they're going there for the monies.
Money, that's it. What they're saying, innit?
They're tempted, you know what I mean? So at the end of the day, you can't really have a go at these people, then.
Just calm yourself,
So where do we draw the line then?
I don't know. I really don't know.
I'm not saying they shouldn't do it, but really, you should got to put... But then, like you said, when it comes to Jamaica and you got other countries where they're poor and stuff, you get the opportunity, you're going to take it. But then, let's not say these things are World Cups and stuff like that if you've got a mixture of countrymen in your team.
Because... I look upon my man, Lennox Lewis.
Canadian.
Yeah. Yeah. What team was British world champion, innit?
Them just borrowed a title, innit? Because them now win nothing, innit? So let me just say.
Yeah, because
innit?
But you know what?
Yeah, it is with we.
Then look upon poor Mr. Bruno, right? I want to look upon Mr. Bruno and say,
wrap up in a pantomime and all them something.
He's won it, but he's not really going to say nothing. But when Lennox come now, he said, Lennox look like the proper things. Mm-hmm. So we're gonna boost up Lennox. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because he was because our Philly friend there, our Gary Mason.
Gary Mason,
right? He was like miniature of Frank,
mm-hmm.
right? And he did okay, but again, he wasn't going to do nothing, you know what I mean? So when you get somebody like Lenz comes across and a performer, they say, we are going to capture him and call him British.
Hey, you know whose family that is? Mason.
Yeah, I know.
So, all right. So what's the outcome then? What we're saying? Them figure? And what am I do?
I think it's down to the individual.
They must look
at their family situation and stuff. Have a conversation with them, and you know, look after your fans. That's what it's about for me. You know what I mean? Because me not begrudge anybody to switch. You know what I mean? 1843. Yeah, if you just tuned in, if you just had a conversation about, you know, we exposed the Athletics big switch last year, you know, including, you know, for Jamaicans, Nigerian, Russians, and also a partridge in a pear tree, you know what I mean? So, yeah, that was that. And down to the individual. I mean, earlier on, we talked about Ashley Cole not having the opportunities. I'm going to flip it now on its head, because, you know, you have the first woman, Marie Louise Etta, will take charge of, you know, Union Berlin. The first woman to hold down one of them big job there in Europe. You know what I mean? And she is in the Bundesliga.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which is for German Tapas.
That's Tapas League, isn't it? Yeah.
I mean, I think it's, you know, it's wicked that, you know, we've got a first female to take charge of the men's team.
Yeah.
Top five Europe's league. Mm. And she's only 34.
Which team is it?
Union Berlin. You know what I mean? And they're... Union Berlin, I think they're maybe whereabouts the 11th in a FIDEM league. So I mean, she's got her hands full, Maria, you know, first female to take charge. of the, you know, men's team in one of the top five European leagues, you know. Do you know what the rate, what do you think the rate number one has?
What?
Which, you know, they're saying that it's Europe's top five. What's
Europe's top five what? Yeah, leagues?
In the leagues, yes.
The
what,
leagues?
What do you reckon it's in adding men's?
It's Premier League.
Yeah.
That's the top one.
G?
I would have still said the Premier League as well.
Hello?
Shut up, man. I would have still said the Premier League.
Anybody?
I would have still said the same Premier League myself, because that's the only one me really
and
know.
And then I think after that, I would then go...
you wouldn't say things I don't know.
The Spanish.
Now, so.
It's going to be the Spanish League, the Liga. That would be the next one. And then I think... it's between La Liga and the German league, the Bundesliga.
We don't know about when I talk.
Yeah, so when and then after that, after the Bundesliga, I would have said I would say it's the Portuguese league. So that's my five. So
okay,
Premier, La Liga, Bundesliga. And maybe no. Let me swap the Porto one, the Portuguese league for the Serie A, and then the Portuguese league.
Okay, well, I'm going to put everybody out of their misery. You know what I mean? So, yeah, Mr. V, with that one, Premier League,
yeah,
rated first,
yeah,
for the financial value, lucrative, ulipacane, my fling up, basically.
Right.
Serie A.
Oh, so that's
European
second league.
Yeah.
Second best. Okay, that's Italian.
And with their kind of like exposure in Europe, it's getting better because they was down in the dumps, isn't it?
Right.
Third is Spanish La Liga status. They've kind of like produced highly technical, gifted, skilled players.
Right.
Bundesliga coming in at number four with their average attendances. So their attendances, the people who go and watch the Bundesliga, is up there, and then the French league producing world-class talent.
I forget them. You French know? League, yeah.
So,
they're
in it.
Yeah, then I think after that would be the Portuguese, them. It would have been the Portuguese.
Yeah, probably right on that one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, let's go back to the main ifs and buts about this one. Would you say somebody who's 34, I'm talking about obviously the first female head coach in Europe's top league to take charge of a man's team. You know, 34, still young, you know.
That is still
young.
You
know what I mean? 34.
Very young still.
It's a lot of responsibility on her shoulders. You know what I mean? You know? Got a hands full, G, do you think?
Well, by what you two are saying, she's got her hands very full.
Mm-hmm.
But who is she? May I ask, who is this woman really? Where she come from? I don't know anything about her.
Appointed as interim coach until the end of the season after the sacking of their manager last week.
Well, I'm asking, is she worthy of this job?
Well, she's got the right credentials because they've stuck out her chest and put her in the deep, you know. I mean, on the flip side, at the start of the show, we talked about
yes,
Mr.
Cole. That's where I'm coming from.
You know what I mean? So there's arguments all the way around. And Cole's argument is saying, you know, if you don't get these opportunities,
then you can't prove yourself.
That's right. She's got an opportunity.
Well, let's see how it
you know
goes,
what I mean?
Then.
Let's see what kind of colour she is. You know what I mean?
I mean you see, this is a tricky one, and this one has nothing to do with it. Because she's female, there's going to be pressure on her as well. There's going to be a lot of pressure on her to prove herself.
She'll have different pressures.
Yeah, she's going to have different pressures.
She'll have different
pressures, isn't it? Because she's going to have to prove herself now that she can manage a man's team, which then will open the doors for other women to do the same thing on them kind of level.
Yeah,
well, it's just like the referees, isn't it?
There you go.
We had the first referee, woman referee.
There you go.
Just like we had the first woman commentator on the TV.
Exactly, and they've always got to prove themselves.
You know what I mean?
They've all done that with us. So let's see where she goes.
And now you're getting more and more of the commentators now.
Yeah.
You know, pundits I'm talking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Citri Yasso. You know, this is a platform. We've been given the opportunity and we are breezed through it. You know what I mean?
I mean, she's saying that it's, you know, she's worked with the plays before, and she's saying that it helps because she knows a lot of them already, you know. You know, she's often asked about, you know, is it different to coaching men than women? She says she always says no. Me, I think it is different.
I think it would be different.
I think it is different, you know what I mean? I mean, maybe because she's in that kind of position, she's saying it's just the same. You know what I mean? But, you know, if you're looking at the, you know, obviously men are more physical, you know what I mean? Genetic makeup, you know? So
men tend
different.
To be a bit more aggressive.
Yeah.
Of course.
You know what I mean? You know?
I mean, I'm just looking at it from... I mean that's a high platform she's on. But if you're looking at it from the what I call the grassroots platform, where I've coached boys and girls, and I always tend to find that the boys were a lot more difficult to coach than the girls, because the boys tend to felt that they knew it all already. They felt that they because if you look at football on television and positioning and stuff, they tend to think that they knew.
Whereas and with the I girls, agree as well, yeah.
With the girls, right, and I coach under 16s at Wednesday, girls, and other girls' teams, and been successful with them, and I tend to find that they take on the information a lot more than the boys.
Mm-hmm.
They're open to the mm-hmm. information. They're not questioning what you're saying. You know what I mean? They're open to take it in and do what you ask them to do,
mm-hmm.
right? Whereas with the boys, it's always like, well, why have I got to play there? Oh, can't I play? Can't I? And when you're doing your drills and things, oh, are we having a match now?
Mm.
Whereas the girls would just continue to do the drills.
Almost like more accepting.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know,
yes,
for
good,
me.
Good point there. You know what I mean?
It's a very good point.
And I tend to agree, point. You know what I mean, in what you're saying. I mean, yeah, everybody's entitled to their opinion. But yeah, I think majority of coaches would say it's different. It's maybe definitely. Because she's in the limelight.
Yes, now
she's kind of been, well, no, it's the same. You know what I mean? Mm. You know, the drills and stuff like that, and you know what you want from them, the phases of play, and to manage them.
And I'm sure
individual.
I'm sure she'll be used to the industrial language as well, because there's going to be industrial language there as well.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all an outside of what she's doing now, isn't it? I mean, when she's saying that it's just the same, and like my man's just said about the training and everything, all that may be the same and stuff, but now she's in it,
mm-hmm.
where she's going to be talking to them first and telling them what first, and like you just pointed out, men can be difficult about that. They're argumentative about certain things and that, so I don't think when she gets into that, it's going to be exact. She's going to find it the same. I think she's going to see, so she's going to have to kind of, you know, push out our chest and be more firm and see what goes up. But let's see. Good luck to her. That's all I can say. Good luck to her, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I hope she proves the point that women can do these jobs, you know what I mean? Because take the women's football over, well, take our team, women, the English women's team over the men's team, then. Who's been more successful in the shorter space of time?
There's no argument. The women have come up trumps.
And there's a reason for that.
Yeah. They've come
and
up
I believe it's what you said. They take it on more in bold. They listen to what they're being told to, and they run with it. And if there's
better
a problem,
talkers,
then sort
it.
If you look at the
talkers, isn't it?
If you look at the Lionesses, you have to look at their achievements. Their achievements are that, right, they've won the European Championship twice.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
On the bike.
Home and away.
And doing it the second time away is a big deal.
Yeah, you can do it at home, that's good. But to go to somewhere else and win it,
mm-hmm.
there you go. That's tapa-tapa.
That says it all.
I put them in the same bracket as the team they beat on the other day when they beat Spain. Right? I put them in that bracket, me.
And they played well. The Spanish team came alive, but they played well and everything. Defended well, everything.
Top side, man. Top side.
So something
says it all there, doesn't it? I mean,
it'll be interesting to see what she does.
Yeah,
it will.
It's true. I mean, she's, you know, she kind of grew up saying that she idolized Bennett like Becca, you know. Had a successful career in the Women's Bundesliga, playing position was midfield. Represents Germany at youth level and won Champions League.
There you go.
You know, back in 2010 before ending her career early because of injury. You know what I mean? Which a lot of players do. She earned a professional coaching badge back in 23. You know, so,
she's got the qualification.
Yeah, so she's not going in there. She's not going in there without what I would say experience, because she's in there.
Yeah,
nobody can tell her about what she doesn't know. She
knows what she's doing.
Because a lot of them are quick to say, she don't know about no football. Mm. This girl's played a really
decent level. Yeah. I mean, when she was taking a coaching badge as well, she was in the same kind of like schooling or, you know, class as Herzler, the Brighton at the time, manager, and also Danny Rohr.
There you go, that says it all, isn't it?
And them two bosses, I think they're quite respectable coaches, them two. And Young Tuck.
Yeah, there you go.
So there's a different breed coming on the scene.
That's true.
But then we talk about opportunities, and that's totally different because them previous coaches, what I've mentioned,
they got the opportunities.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And that's a massive case in point. She's got the opportunity, you know, in Union Berlin. Was at Brighton, Wim Deno.
Who?
Herzler.
I'm not sure where
Fabian Herzler.
He is.
Mate, in Prem and Rowe.
He's at Rangers.
At Rangers. You know what I mean? So they've all been given that opportunity, still doing something good there now. And it just goes, you know, to say what we're talking about as well. Snooker. Back on our boxes.
Not watched any.
Officially starts tomorrow. We've had the qualifying rounds also.
I don't really watch it, to be honest with you.
But I don't mind.
I used to, but I don't now.
I tell you where I like to, if it's on, I don't make a point of watching it, but if it's on, I will kind of like wool it for a little bit. But I do like when we get to the quarterfinal stages
and stuff,
and it's kind of getting really kind of like spicy and stuff like that. We've got a couple of good ties coming up. Watch out for O'Sullivan.
Places now,
ranked number 12.
Is that where he is now?
Yeah. Mr. Murphy, 8th in the world. And Trump, ranked number 1. Still. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I think I'll be checking out a few games. 18:58, a few minutes left. We'll just wrap it up with Grenada Championship. Owls face Charlton, and they have been told. Well, they've been informed by the EFL bosses that you'll be starting with a 15-point deduction next season. So what?
In your windpipe,
and make sure say it tight.
Aye, hear that, captain? 15 points.
-15.
Yeah. Love it.
You could be looking at relegation.
Division two. That's where they're gonna end up.
And I tell you what. Them teams in League One next season are going to have a party.
Yeah, because they'll be looking for them.
And the pressure is on them.
Yeah, because they've got to start to win straight away.
Yeah.
Well, they've got to win. They've got to come at top, aren't they?
Yeah,
really?
They've got to win straight away, man.
Every game.
That's true.
Every game they've got to win.
They've got to win. And that's just for them to get over zero.
Yeah. You know,
that's right. That's right.
We're out.